Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Neil Baker Psychic Hour. I'm Kristen. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
How are you doing today?
Okay.
We're having an okay day. Started a little late, so thanks, callers, for hanging in there with us. We're gonna switch it around today, as we often do, and take calls first and then get to our topic, I think. So before we get to our callers, just want to invite those of you who are in the queue and those of you who are listening to follow us on Blog Talk Radio, to join us on Facebook, both of our sites, Neil Baker Psychic and Neil and Kristen Baker. So you may either follow us or like us, whatever it is that you do. I think there's a friend request option on the Neil and Kristen Baker account. Please do that and support us, because we provide this as a service to our listeners and callers, and that small token of support is very much appreciated by us. And call a number, 914-338-0164. And the number to call after the show for further conversation in a more formal setting, 562-596-7818, because we basically have time for one question per person on the show. These are limited readings. We hope we're able to help you in some way by answering questions on the show, but by no means are they, you know, a substitute for a more detailed conversation. Because a lot of times the topics people bring up can't be solved in 5 minute, 10 minute reading. So just be aware of that. Let's bring on our first caller. Everybody in the queue is going to be getting a reading. So do please hold your place in line, callers. And for those of you who haven't done so already, press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. 253 is our first.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Holly from Seattle.
Oh, hey, Holly. How are you?
Hi there. Good. It's 10/25/64.
Thanks. And I know you're 25/10/1/1964. What's going on?
Well, I don't know if I can ask this here, but I've started doing some readings for friends, and I just was kind of curious, was I right about this reading last night, or is that kind of a weird question?
Were you right about the reading last night? Well, can you give us some background context? I mean, on the reading, and, you know, how did you start doing readings? What got you into that?
I've just been doing that for a few years.
Mm-hmm. And what's your, I mean, how did you, just give us some background on how you got into doing readings, like what prompted you to do it, what kind of training you had, so on and so forth.
Oh,
and
no training.
The reading itself.
Well, the reading itself is somebody was murdered. That's why it's upsetting me, and I just want to know if I was accurate with that.
Well, what did you tell the person?
That he was stabbed in the throat.
And how did you get that information? Was that
psychically?
Well, that's a slippery slope, because when you're getting into murders and how someone was murdered, and there's legal ramifications, and, you know, you have to be very, very careful. You have to be very, very careful in advising people like that. So on something like that, personally, I would want to be real, real sure that I was getting the right information. I don't know. What do you want to say about it, Neil?
Well,
that's
the
why I'm asking.
Holly, the person was murdered. Was there a report on how he was murdered already?
No.
Well, how do you know he was murdered?
I picked it up psychically.
Oh, so is he missing, right? Is the person you were giving a reading to, is this
person? Oh, no. He's considered... He died in Iraq.
He died what?
in Iraq. He was a soldier.
Oh. Well, you know, Holly, as a psychic or an intuitive, you're giving basically an opinion by legal standpoint. You know, it's an opinion. So whether you label yourself a psychic or a reader or just a good friend, and you go, and let's say you were just a good friend and you go, I bet he was stabbed in the neck.
Yeah.
I bet he was murdered and stabbed in the neck. Whether you label yourself a psychic, a Republican, a Democrat, a Christian, a Jew, a Muslim, it doesn't matter. It's just an opinion. So, you know, that's your opinion. Now, based on the fact that you're trying to give it psychically is, you know, maybe you're right, maybe you're wrong. It doesn't, doesn't have much meaning.
What did you say, Holly? She said something we didn't hear. What?
No, I just told her I could be wrong. That's just what I see. I have no idea.
I wouldn't worry about it. It's your opinion. You know, what you have to, what's so important, Holly, is that if you're going to be doing readings and giving readings, check after the fact or maybe during the fact if you get validations, if you get confirmations.
How do you get your confirmations, Holly? Like, what's your technique?
I call Blog Talk Radio and ask.
So you're getting your information from other psychics and then giving readings?
Well, no, she's trying to get...
No, I'm giving readings first.
Giving readings first. But, I mean, I'm saying, how do you get your validations when you're doing the readings? If you're giving someone information, is it just based on intuition, or is the psychic information you're hearing from an angel? I mean, what is the way you're getting the information?
Psychic information. I see it in my mind.
Well, you know, that's a start, Holly. That's a start. It's a very difficult experience to try to be a psychic and then get validations as you're giving readings. I had one woman said, oh, I get a chill down my back whenever I get a validation. And she was always wrong. You know, so it doesn't...
Oh, no, I don't get any body functions or anything.
Mm-hmm.
No,
the best thing I can say is, because I'm not going to sit on the radio and say whether he was killed in Iraq, murdered, or stabbed in the neck. I don't know, because I don't have time to go into that. But I would say that go on your intuition, see how correct you are in time and space, and trust your confirmations when they come out to be true. You know, that's one way of looking at it. And whether you're speaking to an angel, a guide, or it's just coming from that you have a gift for a gut level interpretation of things, you know, that's what's going to actually show. But, you know, if you call 10 radio shows today and ask 10 psychics, well, what do you think? Do you think I'm right? Forget it.
10 different answers
that's
on what happened.
That's not the way to find out.
For sure.
Yeah.
Not for something like this. Not for something like this. Wait and see for the facts to come in and see if you're correct. That would be the best way to go about this because, you know, we consider ourselves good psychics here, but you know, you could call 5 other shows and we could say no and they could say yes. It's still...
True.
You know, we're in a matter. We have this a matter here that involves some form of conclusion regarding confirmation, and that's what your best bet. Wait and see. Okay.
Okay. Did that help, Holly?
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
Keep your intuition strong. Keep looking at it.
Definitely.
Oh, I'm gonna keep doing reading. That's for sure. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye.
Okay. Our next caller, 917. Let's see. Bring them on. Are you there, caller? 917?
Yes.
Hi, who's this?
Hi, my name is Janine.
Hi, Janine. J-E-A-N.
Hi.
Is it double N-I-N-E?
Yes, it is. That's correct.
All right. Hi. How are you?
Hi. And do you need my birth date?
That would be great. And where are you calling from? New York? Is that New York?
I'm calling from New York, and my birth date is 7/7/67.
Oh, interesting, because we have another caller with a birth date that's nearly identical, except she's 7/7/66. She calls our show regularly,
so Oh, wow.
One number off. So you're actually, I know you're going to be a 37101 already because I know her number. So I didn't have to add things. That was handy.
Okay.
Janine, why are you calling? What's going on?
Well, I'm at a crossroads in my life where a lot of things have left over the last year and opened up a lot of time and space in my life. So I'm just trying to decide next best steps forward, particularly concerning a career. Last year being a difficult year on an emotional level, and I'm just wanting to start new and go fresh forward. I just kind of am at a loss for which direction to go.
Okay, so you're actually 49 years old right now?
Yes.
And she said 7 times 7 is 49, so there's something going on there. 7, 7?
Yeah.
First and last. Janine, what happens in first of all, your karmic number is 37 equals 10 equals 1, so that is a compounded master number, so it has to be reduced twice. 37 is reduced to 10 and then to 1, so your karmic numbers 37, 10 are reduced to your master number 1. Your life goes in cycles of 1 from birth to death, and also cycles of 10 from birth to death. So what happened in 2004? Anything? 2004, can you go back there when you were 37 years old?
When I was 37, I don't think anything major that I recall was happening then. I had two kids, and I mostly was staying home with them at that point.
When did you have your children?
I had one at 26 and one at 30.
One at 30. Okay. So that was, well, the 30, that's a multiple of 10, but something probably, any move or anything? 2004?
No, I mean, I've been in New York for 26 years now, and I'm not, nothing's coming to mind with 2004.
Okay. Sometimes it may come later. As far as a change,
okay.
What do you think?
Well, Janine, is it?
It's Janine.
Yes.
Janine.
What, mm-hmm. Where, either you or someone in your family involved in business or finances or bookkeeping, some sort of financial, who's that?
I'm not for sure. My husband has his own company, but it's not really to do with finances. It's medical publishing. And he, to tell you the truth, looks after our finances. So I don't know if that's what
his birthday, by the way, just can we get that real quick?
Yeah, his birthday is December 22nd, 63.
Okay. Anyway, sorry. You know,
what kind of work do you do? Have you been doing?
Okay, in the past, I switch around a lot. I was a massage therapist for 15 years. I've been an artist the past, or working at that. Right now, I'm working in pottery, but I've also worked in painting. And I also read tarot cards, and I'm a life coach.
Okay, so are you wanting to change from that position to another one?
From the reading part?
Yeah, I mean, you said you have a career crisis right now.
Yeah. Right, and I'd like to know what to do next. I would like to let go of the reading and the coaching, I think. So I'm not really focusing on that right now. I do have a pottery studio out in Long Island City that I go to and work at every day, and I'm wondering if I should continue to push in that direction or just get a real job.
Well,
what kind of job, though, would she get? What kind of real job?
Well,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
let me ask you something really quick. What did your father do for a living?
He was a stationary engineer, and he passed 2 years ago.
Stationary engineer.
Yeah.
Where have you been making most of your income? In the readings or in the artwork?
Yeah. No, in the readings.
Oh, wow.
Well, you know, to me, what I'm getting from this, Jenny, is the Janine, is the idea that there's what your problem is in terms of the financial exchange of what you're doing. It's not so much that you're maybe losing your passion or your interest in doing readings and you have more passion for perhaps art. But what we're looking at is, what I'm getting from this reading is the idea that there's some financial energy that's in crisis with your life.
Her husband's an eight.
Yeah. So, do you need to work in order to sustain the family responsibilities?
No.
So what you're saying is that no matter what you do in your career, it's not your income isn't what's important in terms of keeping the family upheld.
No. That would be my husband, and he's not. There's no pressure there. It's just that now I'm an empty nester. I finished a degree 2 years ago, so now I'm out of school. I was always part time in school when the kids were young. So it's just all this time is opened up, and just on a personal level, I'd like to, you know, contribute more, and even on a financial level too, just for my own sense of well-being.
Well. You know, you got your degree in massage therapy?
No, I got a double major, psychology and fine art, with a degree with a concentration in painting.
Well, you know, to me, I don't even know if you need a psychic for this. You need to follow your path. You need to follow what you feel passionate about. And if you're passionate about the art and exploring that, my God, there's so many different ways to look at psychology and art and to put the two together that would be, important, vital.
Mm-hmm.
If you're wanting to get away from the interaction with people and you want to interact more with the art world in terms of how you externalize yourself and what you create, and your artwork becomes that quote other that you're dealing with, but it's coming out of your soul and your spirit. Go ahead and do that. You know, there's nothing really that what I'm getting from this that a psychic can say, oh yeah, you're supposed to be this. I think your idea is to follow your passion and to go with it. And if art is your passion right now, if that's what you want to do, what are you questioning? What's your question about it?
Well, I know notoriously that artists don't make a lot of money, or I'd like to do something.
But this is the question. This is why I was asking about money before, because you mentioned that money isn't really that important. So it's not about money. So that's probably
It's not important as far as my survival goes, like on a material level, but I would like to have something established outside of my husband.
You want to be rewarded also for your work that you do in a fair way. And
were you making much money in the therapy? And were you making much money in the therapy and the cards and stuff?
No, I wouldn't say a significant amount. Not certainly in New York City, not enough to live on. No.
That's
somewhere where I always doubt myself, because I never had
you
problems
need to follow,
getting
you need
clients.
To follow through. Yeah, you haven't explored that yet. You need to follow through on your art and give it a good go and see if you can promote a financial basis for the art that you do. That's where you need to be right now, what I'm getting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're planning to. Okay. You're not planning to leave your marriage or anything, are you?
No. No.
So you don't need, like, you know, Neil asked earlier, does it necessitate, you know, complete financial support? So you can still have independence in your own niche, aside from your husband, without having to bring in, like, six figures or whatever it may be, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
if you're asking us for our an answer, as far as it goes on that term, create your art and make it into such a energy field that you're getting paid for it and receiving the kind of payment you're looking for. Develop it. Go for it. Have you done that full-fledged yet?
No. It's always just kind of been on the side.
That's what you need to go now. That's what you need to explore.
Okay.
Do you have a link to your art you want to share with our listeners or anything like that, Janine?
I'm sorry? I missed
you
that.
You have a link? Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have a link that you want to share with our listeners to your art page, or is there anything online we can view? You can share it. You're welcome.
JeaneCarson.com is my art website.
Okay, we'll take a look at it.
What
and
is it?
JeaneCarson.com.
That's like Johnny Carson's wife.
Yeah, I get that a lot.
All right, Jeanine. Well, thanks for your call, and keep us abreast of what transpires artistically for you. We'd appreciate it.
Thanks
so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay.
What were you going to say? Anything?
I wasn't going to say, no. You know, that's where she should be. I mean, following your creative pursuit, especially when finances aren't the most important thing for survival, is great. She's in a great position to explore it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that safety net makes it easier to take risks in that area too, you know?
Yeah, you know.
There's much more flexibility.
In the beginning of that reading, we were trying, the termination was something about finances or something to do with finances. She,
really,
her journey is not about, she's worried about making money.
Right.
But she's not worried about being an artist. She's worried about where she can make money.
Right. So the
so
financial,
a
there
financial
was.
Financial aspect.
That's right.
Yeah.
Okay. So. 845. Hello.
How are you?
Good. How are you? Who's this?
Lucy Lucero.
Oh, hi, Lucy. Hi, Lucy. Yeah. How are you?
Very well. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Lucy, what's your birth date again? I don't have it handy. 10/16/62. Is that right?
Oh, my God. You have such a good memory.
No, that time, thank you, but that time was not my memory, so I cannot be, I cannot lie. I actually found it on a page here, so 10/16/62, but I'll try to remember it. And Lucy, last time you were calling us about your son.
Oh, yeah, he came for Christmas.
Oh, he did come for Christmas. That was the question, was he going to stay in California or not?
Yeah.
So that must have been nice. So how was that good? Are you feeling more relief about that situation?
It was good because I had the chance to cook for him the high day.
Lucy, we can't hear you. Suddenly, like, disappeared.
Okay, just a second. I had the choice of cooking for him the 5 days. I was very, like, I don't cook really. I eat most of my food is raw. Then I was cooking. I was very happy because I can have him just near me. I knew he was home. Like, even though we don't interact a lot, but then he was doing his computer stuff over there. He slept at the different times, and he did what he wanted to do. But then for a long time, I didn't spend my Christmas and New Year with my daughter and my son, and this year was the year 2016. It was very beautiful. That was the gift. We didn't really give each other gifts. That was a gift from them to me to be with me. That was beautiful.
Oh, that's good. I'm so glad. And you said you don't cook very much. Do you eat raw food? So you were cooking for him more?
Yeah, I cook. Yeah, a lot. A lot. Yes.
Oh.
He gave me the choice to... I like to cook, but then I don't really like to eat the food. Like, if I cook the food, it's just a little bit. 3 minutes, 4 minutes. But then he gave me the opportunity to cook something that we call pernil in Spanish, the whole bag of the pork inside the oven. Then I cook rice, different kind of rice, different kind of meat, fish, and set him beautiful plates, and that was great.
Well, that's nice. So today, do you have a specific question?
Well, I would like to see about my relationship, what's coming for relationships. So anything that comes strongly to you too.
Lucy, so relationships, so you're not, I can't remember, you're divorced?
Yeah, long time ago.
Long time ago, so you've been single for a long time. When was your divorce? Do you know what year?
2005, finalized in 2008, something like that.
Finalized in 2008.
And then I had a relationship, but then ended in 2000, like 10 years ago, something like that.
10 years ago in 2007?
No, let me see. I'm totally mistaken. In 2005, my husband left us. 2009, the divorce was finalized. Then my other relationship ended in 2000. Let me see. My son went to college in 4 years ago. 4 years ago,
okay.
Something like that. 5 years ago.
Okay, so you're looking for a relationship. I'm trying to put these things together.
Not really looking.
Cycles,
not
but.
Really looking, but want to know what is there for me.
Okay.
Not really looking because I just don't go anywhere. I just stay home. I work from home. I do everything from home.
You know, it's interesting about her birth date, I'm sure you're noticing, is that she's got, I mean, her 26 is everywhere in her karmic side,
yeah.
The two ones and the six, and then in the year. So Lucy, your karmic number is 26 and your master number is 8, but you know, and you're born 10/16, and that's actually a 2, the two ones are a 2 and then a 6. So that mirrors your karmic number and it actually mirrors your year, which is a 2/6. So, I mean, there's definitely problems in relationships with that 11 and 0 on that side, plus the 2 at the end of the birth date. But that could mean a relationship for her, right?
Your husband left approximately 8 years after your karma of 26. So when we look at your life, Lucy, in terms of increments of 8, and
right?
Your karma is at 26, and your husband left when you were essentially around 33, between 33 and 34,
mm-hmm.
That means 8 years had gone past the age of 26. Your husband left. And 2 years thereafter, it was finalized.
That was she's 26 and 88. Her husband left in 2005.
Yeah, but that's 42, 6, 36, 7, 8, 9, 41, 2, 3. So it's about 16
years. 16 years.
It's
so it's a doubling of 8.
It's two
cycles
of
8, which is a relationship.
Left.
I mean,
but that, okay, so it doesn't matter. It's 2 cycles.
Sorry, we're
one.
Figuring out math here.
Well, you know, there's 2 things, Lucy. You're not going to get it. You know, you basically are at home. You're 54 years old and you're basically staying at home. And your question is, will I fall in love again or will there be a relationship? If we look logically at the fact that you're just at home and not actively seeking somebody, the chances of you falling into a relationship are pretty small. Unless, you know, somebody comes and fixes your TV or something and you fall in love with them. But you're not,
no.
You know, or you go to a party or something and you meet somebody, there's a chance. The question here is that's just by chance. Your birth date doesn't suggest that by chance you're going to meet somebody. The idea you're asking is there anything in my birth date that has such a code in it that shows me it's more than logical that I'm going to be in a relationship again. In other words, will I have love again at this point in my life from the age of 54 on? What you're looking at, and this is kind of interesting, is that you're born in 62. And so when we look at 62, let's look at 62 right now and think of it as your age, 62. And right now you're 54. So 62, 54 from 62 is 8 years. Now, I'm taking your birth date and actually lifting it up and reinterpreting the numbers for a different reason. And so the fact that you're calling us and asking about this question 8 years prior to being 62 starts to suggest to me that you're probably going to be in a relationship, because your question has something to do with some kind of deeper meaning in your brain that you're already holding. In other words, something in your brain, Lucy, something in your brain already knows that you are bound to meet somebody else.
So what were you going to say, Lucy?
I was saying, because at night, I woke up and I started looking at Master.com and reading reviews for the Elite, and then the Master.com, and what people saying about Cupid, all the websites, but I don't know why.
What we have in our brain before we come down, Lucy, is we have a coded energy as to what we're supposed to be working on, what we're supposed to do. Then we come down to the earth, and it's kind of the codes are kind of disappear in our brains as we work through life actively. It's like taking a big test, and you have to memorize everything. Well, there's something in your code that's suggesting to me that you're aware that you're supposed to be in a relationship. So you're questioning it, but beyond the human quality of questioning, I'm coming back and telling you, I think you're going to be in a relationship. Now, the person that you, I will tell you this, the person that you are bound to be in a relationship with, at one point in their life, they loved horses or horse racing. They liked some kind of, they had something to do with horses. Maybe it was in their background, maybe the family background. Maybe they briefly liked to go horse racing, you know, and betting. But something in this person that you're going to meet had something to do with horses in their background, okay?
Okay, but then what do you suggest, Neil, about that? Because why I wake up every, like, already for 2 weeks, like, connecting to MasterCard reading, okay, which one are the best websites to find friends online?
Oh, you mean going to the internet dating sites? You know, I don't think, I mean, you're at home, basically. Is that right? Neil expressed that. So I don't, I mean, that's a possibility, but I know that
you'd have to
dating.
In your case, you'd have to find a very conservative dating site that basically senior citizens or older people go to and that are looking for something content. Serious, not just sex, you know, hunting for sex. You're going to get, you know, a lot of those sites, the men are prowlers.
And even if it's a conservative site, you're going to get freaks on a conservative site. I mean, you know.
You have to use discretion. If you have
What about your interest? I mean, are there groups you can join or maybe specialize? What are your interests, hobbies, things like that?
Very rare hobbies. I like to hike, to walk. I like to pray. I like healing. I may go sometimes to Omega, or I can go to sometimes to Creep Hollow. But other than that, I don't go too often to Creep Hollow or Omega. Or I can go to Ananda. Ananda is near Orange County, then New York.
Uh-huh.
I can go there.
You know, going to like a church or a meditation center, you know, you might meet people, or there could be groups that you could join, or outdoor people who are outdoor enthusiasts. I mean, that's going to be better than going online.
Yeah. You know, I guess our best response to you is that we feel a relationship in store for you. It might take a little bit of effort on your part, but be sensible, Lucy. Don't, you know, you're mature. You know, just don't be overwhelmed by somebody, you know, that has a different agenda in mind other than a true dating agenda and somebody a little bit more serious, because you're not out to have a hot time, I don't think. You're out
looking
to
for a companion.
Yeah. Go that route, Lucy. You know, there's a little bit of psychic impression in there to offer you a suggestion, but that's what you should follow through on.
Okay, Lucy, and we've got to get to another caller, but please keep in touch with us and let us know what happened.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, Lucy. Thank you. Okay, 561 is our next caller.
Yeah, hi, Kristen. Hi, Neil. It's Stacy.
Oh, hi,
I went on two interviews. Yeah, I went on two interviews yesterday and today, and, you know, since Monday, so I'm hoping something comes in. So I was just happy to get two interviews, and I'm hoping. And you said, remember I asked about my son? You know, I just, you know, wondering if it's going to get easier, because he basically wants to do online school rather than go to school next year.
Oh, boy, and he's 15
smart
years
kid,
old?
But
he's 15?
What?
He's 15?
Yeah, he's going to be 15 in February, and he wants to do it online rather than go to school, and I'm wondering how that's going to work.
I mean, you're going to – I wouldn't let my son do that at 14 years old. I'd say, no, you're going to go to school. What's his birthday? I mean, that's my personal – that's what I would do. I know.
A lot.
What's his birth date?
It's February 6, 2002.
Wow.
He's going to be 15
next month. And that's your day. 2-6, Stacey, is your day.
Exactly.
Your master.
I got to tell you. And before I had him, I dreamt a C-section. I dreamt what he'd look like. It's really weird. And he's really smart, like 2 years ahead. He's very, very smart, but... you know, he's very popular, but he'd rather do it online. And I'm just thinking,
I don't think it's a good idea.
Is that going to be okay?
Can kids do that online now at that age? Can not go to school?
Yeah, it's like a virtual K-12. It's school. You're affiliated with a school, except you have the teacher teach you, you know, online.
How many hours a day do you, because I mean the structure of a school setting, I don't know if I mean I don't know anything about online school for high schoolers, but you know, whether or not he's going to have a structured 6.5 hours a day in school on an online setting, or if he's going to be able to, you know, whiz through the work in 2 hours and then have hours and hours of free time during the day, how does it work exactly?
No, you have like the regular classes the same time as a regular class, except you're in the privacy of your own home.
Well,
and
you know,
I guess he likes it.
Yeah, Stacey, I don't see anything totally wrong with that. If he's academically inclined and he's responsible and he keeps his grades up and things are as they are, I don't see anything totally wrong with
what
that.
About
the
social aspect? What about the social aspect of being in school? I mean, people homeschool their kids,
popular,
but
I don't know. You know, it all depends. Does he have friends?
He's a social butterfly. He's got so many friends. It's unbelievable. He just doesn't want to get up and be at school at 7:30 in the morning, and that's the challenge.
Well, that's too bad. Now that's too bad. He doesn't want to get up at 7:30. Tough. You know, I don't have much sympathy there. But, you know, his intention to stay home and do online teaching and education has to be for a better reason than not wanting to get up at 7:30. You know, that's like saying to your boss, yeah, I'll work for you, but I'll come in at 10 because I want to lay in bed. And I don't go for that. So that doesn't work with me.
I know. I don't either.
That's why people work from home a lot of times. But if it's 14-year-old, I'd be like, you know, get your butt in school.
If that's his reasoning and he's intelligent, let him use his intelligence in a way that he doesn't manipulate. And I would say to go ahead and that he needs to go to school unless he comes up with a better reason than that. But, you know, that wouldn't be a reason to keep him home because he doesn't want to get out of bed and go to school. That's not
going to
work.
That's what I said.
I know.
That's what I said.
And
you know,
it's such a challenge. It's such a challenge waking him up, and that's why it's stressful for me. Because
you know what?
I
it was hard for me to get out of bed when I was a kid, too. But I still went to school.
Yeah.
You know what's really funny about their birthday? Their numbers are the same as ours, 7 and 3. Mm-hmm. Daniil and I, same master numbers as you and your son. 7 and 3.
What sign
Neil's
are you and what sign is Neil?
Neil,
what zodiac is Neil?
Virgo, and I'm a Cancer.
Wow.
Yeah, and you're a Capricorn, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, so Virgo and Cancer, so you guys are, like, different, but get along somehow because you square each other.
Oh, I don't, you know, we don't really go into astrology much, so I don't know about the compatibility.
You said June. Wait, no, not Leo. He's Virgo. Yeah, so Virgo.
I'm a Cancer.
And Cancer. No, they would, you'd get along good. It's just if you were Leo, oh my God, that's a little bit. But Virgo and a Cancer, Virgos are like, Virgos are perfectionists. They're good managers, and Cancers are very sensitive. They like family. They're emotional.
Yeah. Neil always makes me cry.
Yeah.
So that sounds like That's true. Just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah,
by
but
being
you know,
such a
Virgos, you know,
end up in tears.
But you know that you know Virgos really like you because Virgos are perfectionists. They're looking for somebody, you know, that they think is perfect. They're very picky.
Well,
so that's
good.
A
then
good
I'll consider
thing.
Myself. I'll remind him of that next time we have anything that comes up that you know challenges my perfection.
Yeah, you know, Stacey, and to the extent that you're a single parent and trying to raise your child, first of all, you go on your gut level. If you think he should be in school, have him be in school. I don't think at your son's age he should be telling you, I don't want to go to school. I just want to stay home because I want to lay in bed until I want to get up. I don't think that's a good way to put a good factor of responsibility in your son.
Right.
I think that there's got to be better reasoning for that than just to say, I don't want
right.
to get up in the morning.
And that's what I'm saying about the structure. That's
yeah.
the first thing that I said, which is exactly what
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah, he knows, I guess he knows other people that were homeschooled and they did very well. And
it's not a matter
I
of doing
well,
it's a matter of the reasoning he's giving. You know, it's
yeah,
just something wrong about his reasoning.
The fact that they, to me, the fact that that's allowed as acceptable curriculum for high schoolers, it really is the antithesis of the structure that one needs in an educational system. I mean, you know, if you're in college or if you have a job where you can satellite commute, as an adult, I think there should be more flexibility. But I think that, you know, the educational system is the way it is for a reason. I think it's a good thing.
You know, the fact that the educational
discipline.
System supplies this and grants it to these kids, I guess they don't, if he says to the system, well, I want to do online education because I don't want to wake up in the morning. And the educational system says, okay, that's fine. That's what, you know, that's how we, why we structured this.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, fine, you know, but I think the attitude of where the energy occurs is at home, and you have to set a standard for your child mm-hmm. until while he's living under your roof. And if that's acceptable to you, then, you know, resume the responsibility that's it's acceptable to you. So you let him do it. If it isn't, then you have to look hard
it
later.
Isn't.
I'd rather
him be in school. I'd rather him go.
Plus, yes. Then you have the added responsibility of being his caregiver all day long. I mean, you know, you're the parent, of course, and it should be your responsibility, but the school is designed to also for you to have a break. You know, you have to go out and work. I mean, a son that's 14 years old at home all day by himself may not be the best situation, especially if the reasoning for him being at home is out of a laziness, you know?
You know, back in when I was growing up, it was home teaching. So the kids sometimes would stay home and the parents would teach the kids. And that was what was called home teaching. I'm a very solitary guy. I study and, you know, I love solitary stuff, but I went to school too. So mm-hmm. what, you know, I don't know, Stacey, the only thing about a psychic is if we said, oh my God, he shouldn't go to school. He's going to be killed there. Don't, you know, let him stay home and learn his studies there. But I don't see any reason that he shouldn't be going to school because his fear is to wake up in the morning. That's not a good way to bring a kid up.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully that helps, Stacey. You know, that's the input on that situation. And we'll for your job.
And your job will put out energy for that. It's good. You got two interviews coming. You'll be getting work soon. And to tell you the truth, if you're going to be out working, you should make sure he goes to school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He needs to be.
He is going to school now. He is going to school now. He's in school today.
If you were to have work and he was to be home, like I was saying, 5 days a week because he's doing some telecourse, I mean, that's not a great situation. Not that 14-year-olds can't stay home by themselves, but as far as the discipline structure of a school setting, he needs that at his age, not, you know, hanging out around the house in his pajamas all day long.
No, I agree. That's what I keep telling him.
Yeah, and you're the parent, so it's your decision, not his. Okay, mm-hmm. So we've got to move on, Stacey, but thanks for checking in.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye. Okay, so 805, it's Cheryl.
Oh, my gosh. I have such anxiety because I have so much to say. No, first off, no. Make them go to school. Absolutely make him go to – my son gained 80 pounds, and he only had to do like 2 hours of curriculum. It was ridiculous. And I had to go tell the instructor, because he's checking with the instructor once a week for like an hour, to say, how come you're not challenging him? Like, you, it was the – yeah,
so
this age, forget it.
Back up. Your son was – your son did this kind of work?
He did this like for one, I don't think it was a full year, a semester, maybe 6 months. I let him do the home computer thing. Yeah.
I can't believe they even offer that. It's so bizarre. I mean,
it was just horrible. But he put on, I kid you not, 80 pounds. I looked at a picture the other day and said, I never realized that. He took it off, you know, afterwards. But, you know, this is a child that I'm having problems with now. No, you've got to. This is the whole thing about society today and these kids. No.
I know. I agree. So that's interesting.
So forget
too.
That one. And then I was listening to your prior caller about meeting someone. I'm thinking, bingo, my mother was actually, I was at her house on Mother's Day. I rarely see her. And some guy was writing her things that were almost boilerplate. And she was eating it up. She's been a widow for 2 years. And she was all excited. And I was getting mad at her. Like, are you kidding? Look at this boilerplate stuff. So I realized I needed to tell her how much, you know, she's beautiful and be really kind to her because she was starving for that. Well, then she got swindled for like $17,000 and then had another incident. And then suddenly she's in Rome alone, met some stranger. So, you know, it's like, I'm telling you, it's like I called to ask about real estate, but I can't not put in my input with forget it, do not even do homeschool. And trust me, I've got a high-functioning autistic son, and unless it's completely something major, he needs that social. The social part is what you were mentioned earlier. That's huge, and that's right now. This is the age.
I think so, too, and you know, having a great social life versus being in a school environment are two different things. So having socialization in school is going to provide different experiences than just hanging out with your friends or your group. So I think it's important. Personally, if I had kids, I'd have them in school. I wouldn't homeschool. But it's interesting, Cheryl, because you called – Both Cheryl and Stacey called on the last show back-to-back, so it's funny that they called today and Cheryl had that to share. I think it's valuable.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here looking at real estate this morning going, should I buy? I need to ask Neil, should I wait a couple months? You know, I'm kind of feeling like things are starting to really turn downwards, and then I'm like, well, I called last week about my son, but now I feel like in a better position with him, like I'm connecting with him better. But I don't even know. There's so much on my mind. And then, you know, these callers are like, they're in a place that I've been or a place that I've had to deal with before.
Well, okay. So we're not talking about sun today. We're talking about real estate.
Well, I don't really even know. Is it, you know, do you feel like anything's coming up in the near future? Should I be aggressive? Should I just kind of lay back? You know, as far as finding something, buying something, obligating to...
Last time regarding real estate, you were having a problem with one of the buildings and one of the tenants and trying to get everything done so that it will be qualified and the sale will be – what happened there?
Yeah, and I hung out and finally got it finished last week. Yeah. And
okay,
I don't think,
so,
you know, most people would have even put up with this, but to have to start over and – yeah.
It came through. And then you were traveling somewhere to look at some property.
Right. She was in Arizona.
Yeah. And I'm going there actually again late tonight, but I didn't go to this hotel I was going to look at. You were talking about it being haunted. I'm not really even sure. You know, I was looking at Kingman, Arizona. There was a building that came up and I thought maybe I'll go that way. I don't know if I should just stick with where I'm currently working with. I was actually going to go off the beaten path and see if I could do anything with land, but that requires me to deal with the city and permits and it kind of makes me cringe dealing with government.
Real quickly, I would say to be a little bit cautious for the next 5 weeks. I mean, if you're asking for a psychic evaluation, I probably would be cautious. You could look. I mean, it's no harm in looking. but be cautious for the, and I said cautious, cautious for the next 5 weeks, which is going to put us somewhere in the midst of February.
Yeah, because there was a duplex that came on, and I'm like, you know, should I look at it and consider it? And then I'm like, you know, I might do better just sitting quiet, you know, and doing nothing.
Yeah, you need to sit quiet for a while. I would say to sit quiet for a while. There's nothing wrong with looking, but if you're going to be tempted to do something, then don't look. But I would sit quiet for a while, at least about 5 weeks. Anybody born in February in your family?
Yeah, my daughter, my oldest daughter, February 5th.
Yeah, well, that puts us almost around the time of the five-week zone. So wait for that birth date to pass before you make any major decisions.
Okay. Anything going on with her, or it just kind of popped in February?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that would require a different kind of reading, probably more in depth. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe, but I can't answer that on the
radio
air today. You know, right now it did come in. I'm not sure why, but that would.
What's her birth year, Cheryl?
She was born in 86.
So she is 17 and 14. She's a 31-4.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. 17.
I'm not sure, you know.
Wait, she's going to be 31?
Yeah.
Is that right? Well, that's, you know, that's probably part of the reason Neil came up with that. She's turning 31. That's her karmic number. So she's going through a big change in her life right now. So that could be it.
Yeah. There is something going on there. But that's a whole
different thing. Yeah, I'll have to keep an eye, because she wrote me the other day saying, oh, there's something about a credit card, and they asked for my debit number. And she was special needs learning as well, you know, and so she hasn't really ever worked. Her boyfriend works.
That's her karmic number reversed. So it's no surprise that that came in. Okay, well, hopefully that helps, Cheryl.
Yeah, thank you. You guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, you too. Oh, I just, I meant to mute her and I didn't. Okay, we have 5 minutes left, Neil. 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So we didn't even get to our topic. Do we have time to say a few things about the other side of the mind, where we left off? I mean, in 5 minutes, it's going to be tough.
In 5 minutes, the other side
of the
mind.
Or we could close today and start that on Wednesday.
Yeah, it'd be kind
Wednesday.
Of futile. But, you know, I mean, maybe in five
Sorry,
minutes.
Cheryl, I pressed the disconnect button instead of the mute button. So I'm glad you came back in to listen to the end of the show. Okay, but
you know,
I think we're kind of finishing up.
Well, we're kind of finishing up, but when people call a radio show, their attempt is to find the other side of the mind. Now, maybe they're trying to do it through an interpreter or psychic or something, but that's the whole journey, is to try to figure out what is the darkness, where is the light. Some people call and they've got the light already. They're already inspired, they're spiritual, they're maybe looking for confirmation. Other callers are sort of walking in the dark. But the idea is this: you're not really walking in the dark. You're walking in an area of your brain that just isn't lit up yet. And that's where the other side of the brain exists, it hasn't manifested yet or come into fruition, that there is an actual energy source of information on the dark side. That's the other side of the brain. Sometimes we have to leave our bodies and astral project to find that information. But in that regard, we're not going to the other side of the brain. We're going outside of the system of the body and traveling into the astral realm.
To discover more information that can assist the mind and assist the physical journey.
But that now is the brain cell of the soul and the spirit. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the cosmic brain. So when we talk about the other side of the brain, we can talk about the dark side of our physical brain. But we're also alluding to the energy of our cosmic brain, which is really the brain of the soul. It's not an organ. It's a non-organ. It's an energy field of consciousness that we all have inside of our bodies, aside from our brain, that whereby the soul occupies information. And sometimes what the soul has to do is go outside of the mechanism of the physical brain in order to obtain information. And so us psychics, we can either retrieve information from the dark side of the physical brain, or we go outside of ourselves and find and retrieve information in the astral realm, which we'd be more involved in karma and past lives and some sense of the future that has yet to develop in a person's life. If we're talking about just the brain itself, like with one of our callers just wants to, you know, go into art, maybe.
Right.
That's the physical brain. That's about the ego doing something for itself.
Right.
That's not an astral
right.
journey.
And, you know,
trip.
The interesting thing is I was just watching a video of people that were talking about finding your purpose in the earth and finding your purpose and how to manifest what you want, that your desire, you know, and the law of attraction, how it can work for you in manifesting your desires. But, you know, being desirous is not your purpose on the earth. And manifesting your desires, yes, is a part of the journey, but it's there's a higher journey. If you're on a spiritual path, it's not about getting everything you want on the planet. So as you said about the art, which is great. I mean, it's great to have your creative expression in the earth, but surpassing that really
yeah.
is the higher purpose in one's life.
Right. But there's nothing wrong with seeking the content of your brain in terms of an aspiration.
No, absolutely not.
But,
we have our own aspirations too.
And that's an ego-bound energy, which is legitimate and valuable. But when we talk about the other side of the brain, beyond the brain, we're talking about a cosmic consciousness. A whole different story, but yet still involves itself around the theme of consciousness beyond the brain, which is consciousness beyond the body. And that's also part of the other side of the brain.
Right. And, you know, angels and spirits, I'm lucky to be able to communicate with them now, finally. And they said something to me, it doesn't matter if you're a trucker or an actor when it comes to, you know, transcending into a higher realm.
No,
so
yeah, yeah,
it doesn't
right.
matter. Okay. Now, with that, we're going to close the show. We'll be back on Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thanks, everybody.